Skagway eyes land for a new public safety building, and volunteers clear more than 1,000 pounds of debris off local beaches. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. The Skagway Assembly last week approved going ahead with the purchase of the Garden City RV Park in anticipation the land may someday host the new public safety complex in the works. The RV park is owned by the Juneau Archdiocese and operated locally as an RV park. Finance Committee Chair Dan Henry at the meeting detailed negotiations surrounding the sale. He said the Archdiocese would agree to a purchase price of $1.7 million. Henry recommended $500,000 of that come from sales tax revenue. The Archdiocese has agreed to carry the balance of the $1.2 million loan at prevailing interest rates. The new public safety complex project is still in the planning phases with architects, but the city is eyeing either the Garden City Park property or property near 17th, referred to as the pump station property, as a site for the new building. Henry noted the RV park property is more centrally located.
I think to oversimplify it, it all just swings back to the basic thing that the most ideal lot for the type of building we want to build, and especially at the cost of this project, is dead center in the middle of town.
Only about half the 24-lot property would likely be needed for a public safety building, Henry said. That would leave some residentially zoned property available to the city for other possible uses. It also frees up commercial property where the current fire and police stations stand. The assembly discussed the possibility of selling those once the new building is built to recoup the purchase of the new property. Gary Hansen chairs the Public Safety Committee. He says the police and fire departments do not have a preferred location for the new building between the pump station or RV park sites, but he said there could be possible cost savings to putting the building on the RV park property. He said currently architects are looking at designs for the pump station property, but are having to consider two-story building designs to fit that size lot. If the RV park lot offered more space, the building could be reduced to one story, which would save construction costs, he said. Henry said with the new building still a few years out, the city could continue working with the local operator of the park to run it as an RV park. That was an important point for some assembly members, who worry the loss of RV space in town is only going to add to an already tight summer housing market in Skagway.
It's only a guess on my part, but I would think Jeff Hamilton or a Dave Huns or somebody of means, somebody who has some property, knowing that the city has acquired the property and is now looking to build a public safety building there, is going to mobilize to get an RV park in place.
Assemblymember Paul Reichert agreed, and he said he was concerned about how the city was going to attract or help push the idea of more RV park development when there are few places to put one.
That's my main concern, is that we don't move so fast that we don't think about where we're going, because our housing's been pinched and pinched over the years, and we've got to, we talk about keeping that area north of the bridge for industrial use for the future, but and we keep opening up these conditional use permits for people to do this and do that. Where's the RV parks going to go? We're going to go north of the bridge.
Sure.
It's the only property that's sizable. So,
good point.
We have to have some serious discussions about what we're going to do north of there. And don't get me wrong, I've been in favor of purchasing this property, but it comes with some baggage as well.
The motion to purchase the property passed unanimously. The last item on the special meeting agenda was an executive session to discuss the ore dock access agreement with White Pass. The assembly moved to direct the municipality's attorney to respond to White Pass, but did not disclose specifically what the letter would read. The Skagway Assembly meets again on Tuesday evening for a Board of Equalization meeting, and on Thursday in a special meeting to certify the property tax rolls. Its next regular meeting is June 6th, when the assembly is expected to discuss the municipality's budget. There could not have been nicer weather for the start of the Haynes King Salmon Derby this last weekend. 15 fish had been turned in by the end of Monday. Jeff David is leading the Derby with a 28.15-pound salmon.
The weather was so gorgeous, anybody with a 10-foot skiff could have got out there and fished this last weekend,
That's Derby organizer Tony DeWitt. New sport fish regulations this season allow for only a 1 king salmon bag limit for residents or non-residents. Last year, residents could bag 3 king salmon a day and non-residents could take 2. Non-residents this year also have an annual limit of 3 king salmon total. The new regulations were put in place by the Alaska Department of Fish and Game because of a lower abundance of king salmon along the entire Pacific Northwest coast. But DeWitt said the changes didn't seem to be having a huge effect in the Derby.
It's hard to say because sometimes you just feel you're lucky to catch one a day. You know, it'd be nice to be able to catch 2 a day, but I don't think it's making the Derby suffer.
DeWitt reminds participants that they need to have their Derby tickets punched at the Derby boat on Letnikoff Dock. Last year's Derby winner was Mark Edwards with a 41.9-pound fish, which is quite a bit larger than the leading fish this year. But anglers still have next weekend to get out and try their luck. They are vying for more than $18,000 in cash and prizes. Volunteers cleared local beaches of more than 1,500 pounds of trash over the weekend during the Tokchinook Watershed Council's remote beach cleanup. Dan Schultz with Tokchinook helped organize the cleanup. The council first started the effort last year with the help of $50,000 of funding from the Alaska Legislature. Last year, about 1,000 pounds of debris was cleared. Tokchinook again hosted the effort this year with leftover funds from that appropriation. Schultz said volunteers, including the Haines Venture Scouts and local boaters volunteering transportation, went to area beaches over the last few weeks to gather trash and debris. They combed the south sides of Sullivan Island, the Chilkat Islands, and Seduction Point. Then this last weekend, volunteers went back to the beaches to load and transport the trash back to Haines to dispose of it. Schultz said the effort netted a lot of styrofoam, buoys, plastics, tires, and other debris. He said the project was only a one-time funding opportunity that the council was able to stretch into 2 collection efforts, but the group will keep scouring for funding and grant resources that might be able to make it an annual event. To see photos of a video of the beach cleanup, visit the Tokchinook Watershed Council's Facebook page. Schultz said it wasn't apparent if any of the debris from the local beaches was part of the larger mass of Japan tsunami debris. But the issue of marine debris of all types and sources is getting a closer look because of the after effects of the 2011 Japan tsunami. Alaska Senator Mark Begich talked about the issue of marine debris in Kodiak recently, where he visited with officials from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Brianna Gibbs of KMXT has this report.
Outside the NOAA Law Enforcement Office, Senator Mark Begich toured a field of marine debris collected from beaches in the Kodiak Archipelago. Giant white bags filled to the brim with abandoned buoys, derelict fishing nets, and massive quantities of styrofoam surrounded Begich and ITN Director Andy Schroeder.
What's some of the stuff that you get here?
So since the tsunami, we're seeing a lot more foam. Some of this, I think this is a polyurethane, that could be a dock flotation.
Uh-huh.
So, and we didn't used to see, we saw less than 10% foam. Now that number's just going way up.
Can you, on this product, is there any way to have like a test of what this is?
Well, what you're talking about is science and research, and then, you know, if I could draw a parallel for a minute to climate change.
Uh-huh.
You know, in the ocean, you know, you got H2O, and then in the atmosphere, you've got nitrogen and oxygen. So, but both of them, huge volumes, something that was so big, we used to think that we couldn't really impact it or affect it in any way. It would overcome all human activity. Now we realize maybe we're at that tipping point where we realize that we can. Climate change, again, hard to describe. Some people probably still doubt its existence.
I serve with some of those people.
Yeah. And it's the same with marine debris. In climate change, all of the emphasis now is on researching it, understanding the problem.
Right.
I don't feel like there's enough of that with marine debris.
Yeah.
We don't fully understand the impacts. We don't fully understand what plastics in our environment or potentially in our food chain can do to human health. And I would like to see more research, both from tracing this and on, you know, downstream of the marine debris event. What are the impacts?
Right.
In February, Begich was appointed to the Homeland Security Subcommittee on Emergency Management and Intergovernmental Affairs. He said the position could serve the marine debris cleanup issue well, especially if it's approached as a national disaster.
But it's a great debate because as you sit there in the committee and we talk about earthquakes or Storm Sandy or what happened in Oklahoma, people see those. They're visual right away. You know, volcano exploding, they see it. This, it's hard for them to grab onto.
Right.
And it's a much harder education to get people to say, okay, we get it. You may not feel it. It may not have an impact on someone's life today. But if we let it go to one of our most important, you know, food stocks, fish, you're going to see an impact.
Begich said one of his goals in the coming months will be to get more funding for marine debris cleanups, be it through the Federal Emergency Management Agency, also known as FEMA, or somewhere else.
For Japan to bring, you know, millions to the table, and why we don't match that right. dollar for dollar in new dollars, not just right. existing, when they recognize the impact they've had.
We need to, and we're going to be, you know, advocating for federal assistance as we work. Now, the state money will get us started, mm-hmm. and I'm really happy to see them stepping yep. up. But this is, this is going to go beyond. Yeah. This is multi-year, and this is going to be cost more than what they've put forward so far. Right.
That was Kodiak Island Trails Director Andy Schroeder talking with Alaska Senator Mark Begich about marine debris. Begich was in Kodiak over the weekend and toured a marine debris sorting yard to see firsthand what is being collected on Alaska's beaches. I'm Brianna Gibbs.
For KHNS News, I'm Marga Friedenauer. Special thanks to Brianna Gibbs for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.